Good morning. You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Man, I keep thinking we're going to get to the part that's really sad about Asa, but we're taking it six verses at a time here. It's taking a while to get there. But we can see actually a little bit today from that public reading where Asa was headed. I mean, here is a man who trusted God in his youth and relied on him, and then you see he gets older and he starts to look for other solutions other than turning to the Lord. And there's a danger and a lesson for all of us. You know, there's a saying, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's really important, brethren, that we finish this race. I mean, you gotta start to be in the race, amen? But if you're going to be in it, we got to be in it to win it. We got to be committed to finish this thing. And so good examples and lots of bad examples from the Old Testament that we can learn from. A couple things real quickly. Super Dave, I really appreciate your stewardship today. And just thinking, you know, it is the love of money that's wrong. But one thing I appreciate about what Jesus did with that rich young ruler, you know, God knows what each one of us has to give up to make it. You know, he said the Lord doesn't necessarily ask us all to sell everything and get, and that's true. I mean, we know what the Scripture says in terms of our responsibilities. But some of us, man, this is our barrier. This is our problem. We got to give it up. And whatever it is, the Lord knows, and He's willing to confront us through His Word, if we're honest, one-on-one, what it is that we got to give up to make it to glory. Amen? And we got to be willing to step up and do that. And then secondly, along those lines, knowing your Lord's Supper meditation on just the hope of heaven, you know, and choosing heaven over earth. And it really does come down to a faith issue. Do we believe this is real? In the moment is so real. All those senses, it's right there. But by faith, we see what's eternal, and we choose that over the temporal. And so, just thankful for the first day of the week. Reminder to all of us, have our minds set right. If it isn't set right, get it set right. And let's take this week on for the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, Romans chapter 15. Beginning in verse 30, we're going to just do verses 30 through 33. And wrapping up chapter 15 here. Getting to the end of the book of Romans. Romans 15, beginning in verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us through Christ. We're thankful that you have called us out of this world of darkness. Lord, that you have separated the light from the darkness, that you have made us your ambassadors, and that we are just passing through this world. This world is not our home. We are looking truly forward to the hope of heaven, and we are committed, Lord, to doing whatever it takes to get there. We're appreciative for the price that Jesus paid that we could never pay, but we're also really cognizant of Him telling us to pick up our cross and follow. And Lord, we're committed to that. And whatever obstacles come along, Lord, we look to you and we trust in you that you will help us to overcome. We're appreciative for your Spirit who does bring us refreshing, and also for the church, which is a means, by which we can be refreshed and we can find spiritual rest, Lord, among each other. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that, Lord, we would each be committed to being givers. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So just a few things here, wrapping up chapter 15. That Paul urges the brethren there, the saints in Rome. And I'm going to just take that. He urges us. He said, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He says, I'm urging you by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the means by which real love is born out is through the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? But he's challenging me. He says, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so, obviously, we aren't going to be still praying for the Apostle Paul. His eternal destiny, the work that he did, that's sealed. But we can pray for each other. We can pray for the ongoing work of the Lord. We can pray for the ongoing expansion of the kingdom. We'll come to that in a little bit. I was just a couple things I was thinking about. First of all, Paul asked the church in Rome to pray for him. Guys, is it important to pray for others? Hey, maybe we should back it up. Is it important to pray? Prayer is important. I'll be honest with you, the challenge, one of the great challenges of my life is to have a prayer life the way that I want it to be. I'm not saying this out of boasting, but because of the way I was raised from the time I was 20 years old up until now, I've pretty much read my Bible every single day. Might have missed a day here or there, but I read the Bible through at least once a year, every single time since then. Guys, I can't say that I've had earnest prayer every single day. I don't think I've skipped a day of some sort of praying for a meal or something, but I'm talking about earnest prayer. If there is one thing that I could actually go back, and I would encourage all of you young people and young Christians, if there is one thing, one habit that I would have started, it is prayers, earnest prayer along with that scripture reading. Important to pray. What's it mean here when he says to strive? Strive together with me in your prayers to God. I could have kept going about why it's important to pray. I'm not going to hit on that so much today. My message is directed as the way he is. I'm just going to tell you this in passing. I realize I didn't close that circle up. In terms of your relationship with God, it is impossible for your relationship with God to continually grow unless you're talking to him in accordance with him speaking to you. Right? Like, we don't just get to, okay, listen to God, but then we don't talk to him. That's not a relationship. It's also not a relationship to talk to God and not listen to him. Okay, God has us set up. We listen to him, and then from his words, we can speak back to him in accordance with what we've been hearing. Okay, I'm not preaching on that per se today. Hey, but I do want to emphasize here, what's it mean to strive? I looked up dictionary definition. Make great efforts to achieve or obtain something. I really like the way the Amplified Bible says this. Earnestly wrestle. So, I just want you to ask yourself this. How much do you pray? Do you pray? Do you really pray? Do you pray for others? I mean, it's nice to know, oh yeah, hey, praying for you. Do you actually pray for them? You strive in your prayers. Do you make great efforts in your prayers? Do you earnestly wrestle in your prayers? You know, I love to wrestle. I'm not a wrestler. I'll just be that. I love to mess around wrestling. I love to wrestle with my boys when they were younger, man. And this is a fun boy thing to do, right? And you turn the living room upside down, you're wrestling. And I still remember the time that Matthew lost his tooth in Caleb's head from the... It was a nice move by me. I mean, just a slide by, boom, right into the other one. It's great. And now my boys are too old for me to wrestle and win, so now I wrestle with Aiden. Man, he's my wrestling, but I love it. Man, we do a little half Nelson. We do a little... My favorite move is, though, the hamstring grabber. Ooh. But I love to wrestle, but that's messing around wrestling. You guys remember Chris Lawson? Chris Lawson actually wrestled in high school and was actually a pretty good wrestler. And I always would mess around with these young guys back when I was in my 30s still. And I could take Mikel and these other guys, you know, no problem. Oh, sorry. But one day I was messing around with Chris and all of a sudden, man, wham, I was like... on the ground, out. Like, if you wrestle against a wrestler and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get whooped. I wouldn't have expected it, to be honest with you, from Chris Lawson. He put me on the ground fast. There's real wrestling, not messing around wrestling. Hey, when the scripture talks about this, it says earnestly wrestle in your prayers. You know, that means you're going full bore, all out. Never quit. And we're not talking about the... I forget the whatever the fake wrestling stuff is. We're talking about real wrestling. Okay? Going for the pin, right? And this reminds me, guys, of Jacob and the angel. Go back to Genesis chapter 32. I always like this picture in Genesis. Genesis chapter 32, beginning verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." You know, just to me, this is a picture of earnestly wrestling. I know I would have a tendency to, I don't think I can make it all night in a wrestling match, for one thing. Okay? Yeah, those things are exhausting. There's a reason that is. I know boxing and other things are 3-minute rounds. Is wrestling the same? Any wrestlers here? Former wrestlers here? What is it? 2 minutes? Hey, exhausting, right? So to be wrestling all night long, and then at the end of that, to get your hip put out of place, I think at that point in time I'd be like, "Mercy," or "Uncle," right? Do I ever make you say "Uncle," Aiden? "Uncle Luke, let me go." Okay. No, you usually win in the end. So, but I would be ready to say, you know, "Mercy," or "Uncle," not Jacob. He's like, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." Guys, this to me is a picture in our prayers. Earnestly wrestling, like, don't quit. It's so easy sometimes to be praying and then after a little, God's not answering this. This isn't happening, and you just move on to something else. Doesn't the New Testament, a couple parables that Jesus tells, teach us that persistent prayers pay off? God's interested, guys, in how much we're interested in something. How much do we care? Jacob wanted that blessing from God, and he was not going to quit. So the Apostle Paul is appealing to the saints at Rome. "Hey, earnestly strive together with me. Wrestle in your prayers with me together, with me for me," in terms of the work that he'd been talking about and the work that he was doing. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you guys, wrestle in your prayers, in your personal relationship with God. If there are things that you're asking the Lord for strength from, don't quit. You're asking that He'll deliver you from temptation, don't quit. You're asking for the next step in your life, don't quit asking. Hey, don't be like Asa, who went back and started relying on the nations around him or other treaties with other kings. Rely on the Lord. Wrestle. Wrestle in your prayers. Don't quit. Don't give up. How about your prayers for others, which is really the context of this? Again, I mentioned that. I just want you to think about, don't quit. We got a number of the brethren that are physically sick right now. I can't honestly say that I can pray with full confidence that God's going to restore the physical health of our brethren. There's no promises in the Scripture. But you know what? I can pray that God will, if that be His will, and I can certainly pray that through those things that their spirit be strengthened and that they don't give up and that they make it to be in glory with the Lord forever. How many of you have ever been super, super sick? Like either long term or, like, it takes a toll on you. You think about when Satan came after Job. What's the spot where he really hit him at? That physical health. They started breaking him down, trying to break him down. Hey, do you think our brethren that are going through these things need prayer? That they can be strengthened spiritually? Don't quit praying for your brethren. How about the work of God? You know, every Wednesday night prayer session, Brad Shaw always says the church as a whole or the church around the world. Guys, is the Lord's work, is it complete? Not even close. We can pray. How about Billings, Montana? Do you think every truth seeker in Billings has heard the word? We need to pray. We can go from there. Montana, United States. Boy, do we need prayer. Okay? The world. Okay? But prayers particularly for the church. Okay? The Lord's work will be done. You know, when Jesus taught us how to pray, one of the things He said is thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, the kingdom's here now. We're not praying for the kingdom to come, but we can pray for the kingdom to be strengthened, for the kingdom to be expanded. God wants us to pray. And like I say, you can talk about it all day long. Do you do it? Because I'm convinced, scripturally and at a personal level, prayer has the greatest impact on the spiritual battle of anything else that we could ever do. I love the way Jared Schaefer says, may prayer be our first resource and not our last resort. Too often, it's the other way around. So, I don't have time to go into this today, but I want to encourage you, challenge you even. Read Daniel chapter 10. I don't understand, guys, the way in the spiritual realm, the way everything works. I know that that the enemies that we face are not of flesh and blood. They're spiritual enemies. And I know that they have ramifications in this physical realm. But you read Daniel chapter 10 and you'll see Daniel was consulting. He was seeking out the Lord. He was praying earnestly. You see him fasting even in this prayer. 3 weeks he'd been praying urgently about this thing. And finally, the messenger is able to come and answer his prayer. But in that, you see that messenger was fighting through a bunch of spiritual forces, enemies of God, to be able to get there to answer that prayer. And one of the implications of it, guys, is that Daniel's prayer had an impact on the spiritual battle. You actually look back into Daniel chapter 9 and some of Daniel's prayers about the captivity of the nation of Judah, for them to be restored, okay, for them to be delivered. And then one of his enemies that comes up in Daniel chapter 10 is the prince of Persia. Guys, it was through Persia. It was through Cyrus the Great that actually it was going to be that the decree was given for Jerusalem to be able to be rebuilt, the temple to once again be rebuilt. There were spiritual enemies that were trying to keep that from happening. Daniel's prayers had an impact on the battle. So I want to encourage you, the most effective way to positively impact the spiritual battle is to pray. If you don't pray, like start. Every day, start building a relationship with God. If you don't pray for others, start praying for others. Every day. We have prayer requests. Jeff even has in the bulletins now a spot you can write down those prayer requests. Every day, pray for your brethren. Pray for the work of the Lord. All right. I want to hit one other point here from Romans. This is a hard shift today. Back to Romans 15. I wasn't really not going to spend too much time that on. We know that what he was bringing back to Jerusalem, the money there for the saints, and that he was praying that they would prove acceptable to the saints. But I want to key in on verse 32, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Brother, I like these words. Refreshing rest. The spiritual battle's ferocious. It takes a toll. I know right now there's some physical sickness going around. I would strongly encourage everybody to use hand sanitizer before they go through the potluck line today. Okay? We don't need to share everything, right? But when your body gets beat down, what do you need? You gotta rest. Well, there's spiritually sometimes we get beat down and we need rest. By the way, the Lord's Supper and God's provision, this is part of His provision for us in His army, to be able to come and get spiritual rest, to be revived, to be able to get built back up, to go back out for that next battle. And there are times, guys, we need refreshing. We know God does this a number of ways. The first is through the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to preach on that too much today because I think most of us are familiar with it. I'll just encourage you. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 speaks about times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. I can prove that to you another time if you're not sure what that is. It's talking about the Holy Spirit in us. I always like the example of Samson. Takes out 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And then he's beat. And he's ready to... He's basically going to die of thirst, is what he says to the Lord. And then God creates this spring that comes up. Splits something. I'm not even sure what gets split there. But this water miraculously springs up to refresh him. Brother, that's a picture. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The scripture actually says of Samson, his strength returned to him and he revived. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as refreshing. John chapter 4, verse 14, talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. She doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus speaks, and there we get specifically this. He spoke of the Spirit, these rivers of living water that were going to flow. So the Holy Spirit, every day, guys, we get refreshed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, again, I just want to encourage you in this way. We're either being conformed to this world or being transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? Our outer man is decaying. I'm getting old enough that I feel that outer man decaying. But our inner man is what? Being renewed day by day. We have a part to play in that, renewing our mind. But the actual renewing, the work of renewing is done by the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's those times of refreshing. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 talks about through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So if our inner man is being prepared, what Nolan was talking about, that body of glory, that, the way I think about it sometimes is just simple terms. I don't want to be driving around a Corvette with a little lawnmower engine in that thing. This inner man is being prepared for the body of glory. That's the purpose of this life here. The Holy Spirit renews us. We got our part to play, but he's renewing us day by day. Guys, simple terms, every day. Every day is a clean slate for the Christian. You can rise up today and live your life completely for the Lord today. The Holy Spirit revives us so that we can do that. But the thrust of Romans chapter 15 here is the Lord also refreshes us through His people. I like how Paul has the intention. He's confident, the confident intention of being refreshed by the saints at Rome. There's a couple other passages jumped out at me over the years. I want to flip through these real quick, guys, if you'd do this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I just want to read these real quick because they always encourage me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And I rejoice, Paul says, over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. You ever been beat down and somebody... You have an interaction with a fellow saint and you just get encouraged. They bring you back to life in a way, spiritually. These are the things that these passages are talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 13. For this reason we've been comforted. And besides our comfort, we rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. The Corinthians actually did some stuff right here. They responded in accordance with the gospel, or with the message of repentance, really. They responded accordingly. When Titus came, he saw their response, and his spirit was refreshed by that. Sometimes, brethren, just seeing another brother or sister in Christ step up and do what's right, that refreshes me. It's like, hey, they can do this? Yeah, I can do this. And nice to see others living in accordance with the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know this message is a little different today, but I just want to bust through these real quickly. So hit them with me here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. There we go. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. You see Paul the prisoner and somebody coming and visiting him and cheering him up and refreshing him. I've mentioned this before, but one of the things back when I had cancer and went through chemo every day, and you know they had chemo every single day. And one of the things, Jeremiah Gold would come up there and visit me almost daily. And that would refresh me. Sometimes I have no idea what in the world I was talking about to him because of some of the medicine I was on. But man, just him being there and saying, I care, refreshed me. Guys, there's a point in time that's coming in this country where there are going to be Christians that are in prison because of being a Christian, because of their stand. One of the things Scripture tells us is, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. That would include prayers, that would include visiting, etc., right? I know we used to go see Don Fletcher, our tax patriot buddy that was thrown in the, you know, conspiracy against the federal government. This guy's a true Christian. Man, we got to go see him, some of us did from here. And man, you could tell his spirit was refreshed when we came. Mine got refreshed. Oh, here's the other neat thing. When you do that, it's a two-way street, isn't it? Because man, we got super refreshed by going and seeing him. And it's the same way. When we give that to our brethren, we also receive it. Philemon. These ones have always jumped out at me here in Philemon. Philemon, chapter 1, verse 7. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brethren. So, Philemon was one of those guys who the way that he interacted with the brethren, he would refresh their hearts. And then Paul's asking him in verse 20. Following up on this, he's asking him, Philemon, to receive Onesimus in a certain way. Looks to me like a runaway slave from Philemon, to receive him back as a brother, etc. But in verse 20, Paul says, yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul told Philemon, basically, hey, if we want to get down to it, Philemon, you owe me your own life. Like, that tells me Paul had converted Philemon, changed Philemon's eternal life, and he says, now, hey, let me benefit from you. Refresh my heart in Christ. And so, bottom line is this. Because they're givers and they're takers. We know the proverb. Leech has two daughters. Give, give, right? There's something they just want to. They're blood suckers. Get on there and suck the life right out of you. And you know when you have an experience with one of those kinds of people, because you feel dead afterwards. Okay? It's like trying to, oh, my battery needs a recharge. Hook me up. So you hook it up and all it does is run yours down. Like, no, that thing wasn't dead. You needed a new battery, right? You know what I'm talking about. But and sometimes, hey, I think spiritually, I just want to say there are times all of us need a recharge. And it's fair and right and in the right relationship with our brethren to say, hey, this is the way I'm feeling. Can you give me a recharge? But even in doing that, brother, I just want to encourage you, like, don't be there to just take. Like, thank them. And then make sure we'd even say pay it forward, right? Encourage other brethren from that. The attitude of all of us needs to be givers. You know, refresh the souls of those around us. Yesterday, my hot water heater crashed, and I was super thankful. Pat and Roger came and helped me out. Not only did they refresh my hot, had to get a new hot water heater, but they put it all in for me, took the old one out, put the new one in. That helped me a lot. Like, if you guys know me, I still wouldn't have hot water today without them. But you know, and I'm thankful, really thankful for that. That repair of my hot water heater. But you know, I also got refreshed in my spirit just knowing these guys cared enough about me. Emergency situation to drop everything else they're doing and come and help me. It's just things like that that refresh your spirit. And I'm thankful for the body of Christ that way. You know, sometimes our spiritual hot water heater goes out. And aren't you thankful for people that can come and help you get that set up too? So I just want to ask you in closing, what kind of person are you? If the Apostle Paul came to the church in Billings, could he write a letter and say, hey, I know that when I come, I'm going to find refreshing rest in your company. Like, this is a place that I just want to come, fellowship with you guys a little bit, and get spiritually recharged. I hope we're that kind of congregation. I think we are, but I think we can do better. I think it starts by just more being aware of each other. And I want to be careful when I'm saying this today. I don't want anybody to mistake this. I'm not encouraging people to sit around and have a pity party with each other. But I am encouraging you to share and build up and encourage each other. Refresh each other's spirits in the Lord. This is one of the means by which God prepares us again and gets us ready for battle. Amen? So don't be afraid. If you're in need, if you're in a position to help, if your battery's dead, just be honest and say, my battery's dead. I probably need a new one because I don't want to suck all the life out of you. But if you need a little recharge, say, hey. And the flip side of this, guys, is brethren shouldn't always need to ask either. I do want to say, hey, if you're in that position, ask. But brethren shouldn't always need to ask. Hopefully we see. We care enough about each other to recognize some things. And we can give without having to be asked. Sometimes you got to ask because you just not picked up on. But let's be the Spirit in us giving to others and knowing that as we give, it will be given to us overflowing. It will pour into our lap. Amen? All right. And then he closes with the God of peace be with you all. And I'll just say this, bottom line, anything that we do, anything we're going to get done, we need the Lord with us. We've seen this a bunch of different ways from Romans, and this time he says the God of peace. Kind of hit that earlier, so I'm not going to just, hey, God be with you. When we say goodbye, that's what that means. God be with you. And isn't that what we all need? The Lord be with us. Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for the blessings you give us through Christ. We're the spiritual blessings, Father. We're thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. We're thankful for the clean conscience you've given to us. We're thankful for your Spirit that dwells in us. The rivers of living water, Lord, that spring up from within us. That when we have come to the end of our everything that we have to give, Lord, that you provide, you give that second wind, you give us what we need. We're also really thankful for your people, the church, and for the opportunity to be refreshed through each other. Lord, may we all, each of us individually, make sure that we have an attitude of giving. I'm just thinking today, Lord, I went over to my brother Bill and said, man, I need some encouragement today. And he said, I need some too. And we just gave some to each other. And Lord, that's the way you designed it. And we're thankful in your wisdom for calling us together on the first day every week to be able to get that refreshing from each other, to get a spiritual rest so that we can go back out in the battle and be productive for you. We're just thankful for Christ and all everything that you've done, everything you continue to do. Lord, may you be glorified through us individually, through this congregation here in Billings, and through your church throughout the world. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.